At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
This is the VSiN Daily Baseball Bets. Here is Adam Burke.
Hello once again, everybody, and thank you for joining me here on this Wednesday, June 7th edition of VSiN Daily Baseball Bets. I'm your host, Adam Burke. Happy to be with you for what will be my final show of the week. Jeff Parles taking over on Thursday and Friday. I've got a prior commitment to tend to, so you'll hear Jeff's voice on Thursday and Friday here on VSiN Daily Baseball Bets. Also, Zach Cohen will take over doing some sides and totals in his Best Bets article for Thursday. Jared Smith, Friday, Saturday, Sunday with his Yes, No, First Inning Run article. So that'll be your baseball content for the rest of the week here, a couple of days away for me. So I'll be back on Monday with a new edition of the podcast, but just wanted to let you know the podcast will keep going over the next couple of days just with Jeff running the show. Over at VSiN.com, NBA and NHL playoffs talk, of course, with the finals going on. Game 3 tonight in the NBA playoffs between the Heat and the Nuggets. We'll see what happens in that one as Miami comes home with a 1-1 series. Are they able to take control of the series in this important swing game tonight? JVT doing his article over at VSiN.com and JVT on the Hardwood Handicappers podcast alongside Kelly Bidlin. Lots of things were discussed on our Long Shots podcast. Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin doing that, and Wes Reynolds talking about the LIV Golf PGA Tour merger, all that kind of thing. Oh, yeah, and there's a golf tournament this week as well. So the guys discussed that for that episode. So lots of stuff over at VSiN.com, lots of stuff on all of our podcast platforms as well. I got a content meeting to get to, so let's go ahead and jump right in to today's Major League Baseball card. 15 games on the board, 14 of them have not started yet. The A's jumping all over Roansy Contreras in the first inning. They're up 7-1, top three as I record here. So we'll see if the A's able to hold on to that lead and take care of their affairs. But we start by rotation number, as I always do in the National League, with Arizona and Washington. Zach Davies, Patrick Corbin in this one. And remember when I talked about Patrick Corbin and how he was on a nice little run? From April 16th to May 20th, 340 ERA, 392 FIP over 42 and a third. But it seems like maybe the old Patrick Corbin now coming back to the forefront. He's given up 10 runs on 14 hits in his last 11 and a third. He's struck out 8. He's walked 8. Now for the season, 492 ERA, 611 expected ERA, 495 FIP in 67 and two thirds. So Corbin was allowing some hard contact. Seems like now that's come back to bite him a little bit. We'll see if he can right the ship or if we're back to seeing the same old Patrick Corbin, which would be a pretty big hit for the Nationals, who are better than most people expected so far this season, with guys like Corbin, Josiah Gray, Mackenzie Gore really being a big part of that equation. But even though Corbin's turned back into a pumpkin, still very tough to bet Zach Davies. 540 ERA, 470 expected ERA, 465 FIP, and 18 and a third innings pitched. Double-digit walk rate of 11%. 5 runs on 12 hits in 9 innings since coming back off the IL. As we know, the Nationals, not a great offense against righties, a very good offense against lefties. Davies is a righty, but not really much interest in laying the road price here with the Diamondbacks. And in fact, seeing this line come down a little bit here today with some investment in Patrick Corbin, which, if you remember from way early on in the season, I talked about how some line moves are more meaningful than others. The idea that people would actively bet on Patrick Corbin stands out to me in that game as the odds screen lighting up a little bit as I'm recording here. Got a play in the Dodgers and Reds, so we'll skip over that one and go to the Mets and the Braves. Max Scherzer, Charlie Morton in this one. Braves, $1.25 or $1.30 favorite, total of 9.5 for this game here. And look, I mean, anytime you get Max Scherzer at this kind of an underdog price, it's something that you have to consider, right? I mean, he's given up 3 earned runs in his last 4 starts over 25 innings of work, but he's faced the Nationals, Guardians, Rockies, and Phillies. So not exactly a murderer's row of opponents, to say the least, but he does have 28 strikeouts over those 25 innings, and he's allowed just a 27.9% hard hit percentage in that span. So it does seem like, slowly but surely, we're getting back to the usual performance level of Max Scherzer here, who does have a 3.21 ERA, 3.31 expected ERA, 4.12 FIP over his 9 starts. Did give some thought to the Mets today, with Scherzer kind of pitching well over his last 4 starts. And also Charlie Morton, 3.62 ERA, but a 4.33 expected ERA. Strikeout rate down a bit from the last 2 seasons. Walk rate the highest he's had since 2018. But he's a guy that's held the opposition to 3 or fewer runs in 9 of his 11 starts. So Morton's been pretty good. There were some bigger regression signs earlier on in the year. Those have kind of stabilized a little bit. So didn't make a play in that Mets and Braves game, but obviously anytime you get Scherzer at an underdog price, it catches your attention and it's worth some measure of consideration. We'll skip over the Giants and Rockies. Not really a whole lot to say about that with Logan Webb and Connor Siebold, the Giants over a $2 favorite. They really hit the ball well yesterday, coming away with a nice victory at Coors Field. Split with the 2 plays because the Orioles got unlucky late in their game against the Brewers, which I'll talk about in a few minutes. But the Giants did win yesterday, and they are a heavy favorite to win again today. Moving over to the American League side of things, the Twins and the Rays. Sean Armstrong gets the start for the Rays. He is the opener today for Cooper Criswell. Armstrong made his 2023 debut a couple days ago, worked a couple scoreless innings against the Red Sox, 7 rehab appearances at AAA, and threw the ball well, so he should get them off to a decent start today. Criswell, look, I'm not a huge fan of the guy, 6.11 ERA, 4.98 FIP, but he's allowed 9 of his 12 runs in 2 of his 5 appearances, so he's given up 3 runs over his other 3 appearances, including 1 run in each of his last 2 outings, covering 6 1/3 innings. So maybe the Rays kind of working their magic with him. I think he's probably the worst pitcher on that roster, but he's been fairly effective in his last 2 bulk relief appearances, whereas Pablo Lopez is struggling a little bit here for the Twins. The strikeout rate is outstanding, 86 strikeouts in 71 1/3 innings pitched, but a 4.54 ERA in his 12 starts. And if you go back to April 22nd, he's got a 6.15 ERA with a 4.43 FIP in that span. Just gave up 6 runs on 8 hits to the Guardians, who, you know, as we know, they have plenty of problems scoring, and they have throughout the course of the season. So Lopez just not really commanding all that well. 5 starts with at least 4 runs allowed over his last 8 outings. He's given up 8 home runs in that span. So I actually thought a little bit about the Rays today, but with Criswell, I'm just not totally sold on his ability to shut down really any lineup. But, you know, the big thing about the Twins is they strike out a lot. If you don't strike them out, that's how they do some damage. Criswell, not really a big strikeout pitcher. White Sox and Yankees is kind of on the brink here. We'll see if this game gets played. The air quality in New York City is awful based on the wildfires that are happening in Canada. They're talking about possibly postponing this game. If it goes off, it'll be Lance Lynn and Randy Vasquez, with Vasquez making his 2nd MLB start, getting recalled from AAA. So I didn't even spend too much time on that game in the article or give it too much thought. It might get played. If it does, Vasquez, a really big wild card, and Lynn has been very inconsistent throughout the course of the season here. Astros and the Blue Jays. Ronel Blanco making his second start of the season for the Astros. He'll go up against Chris Bassitt, who returns from the paternity list. Now, Bassitt didn't actually miss any time. And in fact, right before the baby came, he threw 7 2/3 shutout innings against the Mets, his old team, on June 2nd. Big bounce back effort from Bassitt in that one because he'd allowed 13 runs over his previous 10 1/3 innings pitched on 16 hits. Bassett's been a tough guy to figure out this season because he has three really bad starts, one pretty bad start, and then the eight good starts that he's had have been quite good. And in fact, I believe he had a 27 inning scoreless streak at one point throughout the course of this season. So Bassett's been good more often than not, but over his last three starts here, 47.4% hard hit percentage, gave up six barrels, three in each of his starts against the Twins and the Rays during that tough stretch that he had. I don't know this personally, but those out there that do, obviously having a baby is a big change with your life. So, you know, we'll see how Bassitt fares in this one after heading back to Toronto a little bit early at the tail end of that road trip so that he could be by his wife's side. But Blanco is a guy, a typical Astros prospect, right? A lot of strikeouts in the minor leagues, a lot of walks. The thing for them is kind of curtailing that walk issue once he gets to the big league level. In his first start, he gave up two runs on seven hits over 5 1/3 against the Angels back on Thursday. Astros running a six-man rotation now to try and stretch out guys like J.P. France and Brandon Belak and Hunter Brown as they deal with a lot of injuries. But Blanco started this year in the Astros bullpen, got sent down to the minor leagues to get stretched out from May 9th to May 26th, gave up one run on five hits with 21 strikeouts in 16 innings at AAA. But he also walked 13 guys. So we'll see how he fares in this start. I thought about taking the Astros at a pretty sizable underdog price, but Blanco, a pretty significant wild card in that one. I got a play on Guardians and Red Sox, so we move on to the interleague portion of today's card. The Mariners and the Padres. Good pitching matchup here between George Kirby and Michael Wacha. Michael Wacha, what a run he's been on here lately. He gave up 19 runs in his first five starts, but he's allowed just five earned runs in his last six starts. Since the start of May, Wacha with a 1.23 ERA, 3.28 FIP, 4.52 xFIP. So there are some pretty big negative regression signs in the profile for him. In that six-start span, 189 batting average on balls in play, 92.7% left on base percentage. Now, he does have a 26% hard hit percentage against, which does explain the low BABIP, but at the same time, it is very hard to carry a sub-200 BABIP and a 90-plus percent left on base percentage. So there will be a start coming here soon where Wacha gets blown up. I think it'll probably be like one of those six or seven run types of starts. Maybe it could be a more progressive stretch where he gives up a lot of runs. I don't know if it happens today against the Mariners, who they strike out a lot. They're not very good against right-handed pitching, but Wacha is a negative regression candidate and a guy that is on my radar here in the not-too-distant future. Kirby bounced back. He had a really bad start against the Pirates, gave up four home runs, seven runs in that start. He threw eight shutout innings against the Yankees with seven strikeouts in his most recent outing. However, he did give up some hard contact in that start, so we'll see what he's able to do here in this one. I will say that this kind of profile is a little bit like yesterday's game, where Logan Gilbert is a guy that really does an effective job of limiting walks. And the Padres, their best attribute on offense is that they draw a lot of walks. They are 25th in WOBA against righties, but they have the league's best walk rate at 11.9%. Kirby's walked, I think, six guys on the season in 71 innings pitched. So I gave some thought to the under. It is a day game in San Diego. The ball may carry a little bit better. Also, those concerning signs for Wacha. I do think Kirby pitches well here. I needed a little bit better on the price to take the Mariners, though, with their offensive concerns. But I thought about the under in this game, and that may ultimately end up being the play, but it didn't make the cut for the show here or for today's article. One more game, then I'll take a short break. That is the Tigers and the Phillies. Interesting one here with Reese Olson going for the Tigers. Really good secondary stuff. Interesting prospect for them. In his first start, he went against the White Sox, gave up two runs on two hits, struck out six of the 19 batters that he faced. I was on the Tigers in that game. Unfortunately, they didn't score off of Mike Clevinger or the White Sox bullpen. And that's just the ongoing problem with the Tigers. They've been a bottom five offense all season long, but Olsen is a guy with some swing and miss upside. Maybe a guy you want to take a look at from a strikeout prop perspective, something like that, where he's got good stuff. It's just a question of how deep he'll be able to work into games, which is, of course, an important thing when you talk about those strikeout props. The issue here with being interested in the Tigers is that the Phillies are sending out Zach Wheeler. Wheeler, 4.33 ERA, 3.54 expected ERA, 2.85 FIP, 64.2% left on base percentage. So that's why his ERA is as high as it is. But last time out, he struggled against the Nationals. Gave up 7 runs on 8 hits and 3 2/3 innings pitched. I'll say this. Over his last 5 starts, Wheeler's command is kind of on the fritz a little bit. 45.6% hard hit percentage, 7 barrels allowed, 6 of them in his last 3 starts. Doesn't look as sharp as we're used to seeing Zach Wheeler look. Still a big price today on him, and I understand not wanting to back the Tigers. Thought about the plus 1.5, but with a total of 7.5, not really getting a great price on the Tigers run line in a dog roll. So no play for me on this one, but keep an eye on Olsen and maybe that strikeout prop, possibly something that you may want to take a look at there with him. Coming up on VSiN Daily Baseball Bets, I wrap up the interleague portion of the card and share my 3 plays for today.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back here on VSiN Daily Baseball Bets. Please make sure you rate, review, subscribe. 5-star reviews, very, very much appreciated for this and all of the shows in our VSiN family of podcasts. How about the Royals and the Marlins? Jordan Lyles on the mound for the Royals here. Royals 0-12 in his 12 starts. Lyles 6.89 ERA, 6.13 FIP. I will say, last time out, Jordan Lyles gave up 1 run in 5 innings with 8 strikeouts, and that team still lost. So the Royals, despite some of their offensive numbers, you know, they can't seem to get out of their own way. They just find ways to lose games. A lot of bad starting pitching, a big part of that. Lyles is interesting here today because he's given up 17 home runs in 66 2/3 innings pitched. He's allowed 26 barrels on the season, but the Marlins are not a great offensive team. 22nd in WOBA against righties. This is a ballpark that suppresses power. I actually thought about maybe taking Kansas City today and Lyles, but Edward Cabrera draws a Royals offense that will strike out, doesn't really draw a lot of walks, and Cabrera is one of those effectively wild guys. Over 44% of his plate appearances have ended in a strikeout or a walk. but he's only allowed more than three runs twice in his 12 starts. So not a whole lot of margin for error for Jordan Lyles. Last time out, Cabrera, 10 strikeouts against one walk in his start against the Athletics, a team that doesn't really see him much. So I quickly pushed aside my thought of possibly backing Lyles and the Royals in that one. Orioles and Brewers, frustrating game yesterday. The Orioles, Yennier Cano walks a 180 hitter, gives up a two-out, two-strike hit to a 190 hitter. That ties the game. They gave up some stolen bases late in that game as well, so not really paying attention to the details. And, of course, they only scored three runs, so not really a whole lot of margin for error with that. But they were up 3-2 in the eighth inning, and that's kind of the situation I was hoping to have them in with a lead with Cano and Bautista. They wind up losing the game in extra innings. Corbin Burnes gets the call today for the Brewers. Dean Kramer going for the Orioles in this one. Burnes, maybe a future Oriole. I don't know. We'll see what happens in that NL Central race. The strikeout rate is down. The walk rate is up. The ground ball rate is down. A variety of different things here for Burnes where, look, he's got a 3.75 ERA and a 4.59 FIP. And honestly, I think he's pitched a little bit better than those numbers would suggest. But, we take a guy like that for granted because his numbers have been so good throughout the course of his career that when he's not performing to his usual level, it really stands out. And I think that's been the case here with Burnes so far. The other thing, and maybe I should have thought more about this yesterday, the Orioles offense has really cooled off. I mean, early in the year, they were really, really good. They're a below average offense by WRC plus basically over the last six or so weeks. Offensively, they just really haven't been all that great here of late. So we'll see what they do against Burnes and if they're able to take advantage. I'm not a big Dean Kramer guy. Dean Kramer, 4.43 ERA, 6.38 expected ERA, 4.59 FIP. His hard hit percentage is 48.8%. Gives up a lot of loud contact. I don't like this Brewers offense, so maybe Kramer dances around it today, but that was a game that just didn't have very much betting intrigue for me. Last game, and then we'll get into the three plays that I've got for today. The Cubs and the Angels. Jameson Taillon and Jaime Barria in this one. Taillon finally getting rewarded for pitching better than his numbers would suggest. Last time out, gave up one run on three hits and 5 2/3 to the Padres. I remember handicapping that game and really thinking about taking the Cubs. But Taillon has a 7.05 ERA. 4.12 FIP, though, in 37 innings, 35 strikeouts, 11 walks. Some negative cluster luck for him. Also, some of the other luck metrics not really falling in his favor. With the bases empty, Taillon has allowed a 2.97 WOBA. Compare that to a 4.10 WOBA with men on base and a 4.28 with men in scoring position. Taillon's got a 3.48 BABIP against with a 50% left on base percentage on the year. So he's run on the wrong side of variance in a variety of different ways. Should be better as we go forward here. So Taillon is a guy that I am looking to back as we move forward, as some of those peripherals kind of stabilize a little bit. But Barria's been really good for the Angels so far this year. Starting on extended rest, last pitched on May 31st. Two starts in his last three appearances. He's only given up one run on six hits with 12 strikeouts in that span. He had a tough relief appearance, four unearned runs in between, but 1.59 ERA, 3.11 FIP, 25.6% hard hit percentage. I'm not really entirely sure why this guy wasn't in the rotation earlier, as the Angels have had some issues with their starting staff, especially on the depth side of things. But Barria's been pretty good, and he's a guy that I may look to back as we go forward here, just not laying $1.40 against Taillon, who has a ton of positive regression signs in the profile. All right, so the three plays I've got here for today, we start with a total. We start down in Cincinnati, where you've got Noah Syndergaard and Brandon Williamson between the Dodgers and the Reds. Dodgers, about $1.50 favorite, in this one. Total of 11 or 11.5. This is one where this is not a good matchup on paper for Brandon Williamson. Williamson in four MLB starts, 11 walks, 18 strikeouts, and 21 innings of work. The Dodgers, best team in baseball at working walks, or at least one of the best. And their offensive performance against lefties has been so good lately that they're up to eighth in weighted on base average in that split. And remember, early on in the year, They were a bottom 10 offense against lefties. So they've gotten much, much better in that department. Not only has Williamson allowed a lot of walks, he's also given up 10 homers in 55 innings between AAA and the big leagues. So this is not a good matchup for him at all whatsoever. Noah Syndergaard, 6.54 ERA, 5.44 expected ERA, 5.23 FIP. A lot of contact, 10 homers allowed in 52 and a third. His last two starts, he's given up 11 runs on 15 hits. And this may be Syndergaard's last start in the rotation. The Dodgers going to have some difficult decisions to make as this week goes along. And Syndergaard may be the odd man out as some guys come back from injury here. Over his last seven starts, 46.4% hard hit percentage. I just don't see Syndergaard having a lot of success here as a pitch to contact guy in a small park with a Reds offense that has really picked up in terms of contact quality, in terms of exit velocity, in terms of overall excitement. And of course, they're a much better offense at home than they are on the road. So I took the over 11 here in this game, minus 120, laying a little bit of juice on that one. But this looks to be a game where runs are very, very much possible, especially in the Dodgers side going up against Williamson. But I think that the Reds are able to get the Syndergaard as well. So over 11, minus 120, the first of today's three plays. Next up on the board is the Cleveland Guardians. They're a $1.30 favorite over at DraftKings, total of 8 with some heavy under juice against the Boston Red Sox. Cutter Crawford and Tanner Bibee in this one. Bibee, 3.20 ERA, 3.29 expected ERA, 3.23 FIP in 39 and a third innings pitched. So his numbers pretty much exactly where they should be. He's given up 3 homers, 14 runs on 34 hits and 7 starts, 40 strikeouts against 10 walks, only allowed more than 3 runs once in a start, hard hit percentage under 37%. He's been really, really good, and he's got really good stuff, and teams that face him for the first time, I think he's going to have some success with. So that's something I think will definitely benefit Bibee as we go forward here, where, you know, teams that don't really see him a whole lot, you know, I think he still has the opportunity to have success against them, particularly that first time out. Cutter Crawford, only 3 starts this season, 3.48 ERA, 4.18 FIP, decent peripherals, but he's largely been working in relief. And it is tough when you go from working in relief to being a starter, because a lot of guys end up being relievers simply because they don't have enough arsenal depth. They don't have enough good pitches that they're able to throw. Crawford pitching on a little bit of short rest for the second straight time. Last start, he went 3 innings. I would anticipate something similar here. And the guy who could follow him may very well be Corey Kluber. It may be Brennan Bernardino, or I believe that's his name. Nick Pivetta, also an option. The Red Sox bullpen is not particularly good right now, and they're going to have to use a lot of it in this game. And I think that the Guardians are set up pretty well with Bibee, then arrested Trevor Stephan and Emmanuel Clase. Clase has looked better over his last few appearances. Stephan is a guy who's got really good stuff, should be able to make adjustments. To me, I look at this and I look at the Red Sox, and they're going to have to throw some of their lesser pitchers in this game here at some point, probably in the middle innings. Whereas for Cleveland, the majority of this game should be Bibee, Stephan, and Clase. So I think that's worth laying $1.30 here. I know Cleveland's offense, a little bit shaky, to say the least. But I think that this game does set up a lot better for them in terms of run prevention than it does for the Red Sox. So Guardians, minus 130 on the board for me. And then lastly, the Cardinals and the Rangers. And maybe stepping in front of the Rangers is a bad idea. They're up to $1.50 or $1.60 favorite, total of 9 in this one. Jack Flaherty and John Gray. John Gray has been great over his last 5 starts, 0.79 ERA, 2.87 FIP, 34 innings pitched, 32 strikeouts against 6 walks. But with that being said, he's faced the Mariners twice, Oakland, Colorado in Texas, and Baltimore. And I just mentioned Baltimore's offense has really been sagging here of late. The Mariners are not a great offense against righties. They're 24th in WOBA. You've got Oakland, who's 28th in WOBA. Colorado is 12th, but that game was in Texas, and the Rockies are 24th in road WOBA against righties. And then Baltimore is kind of a league average type of offense. The one thing for St. Louis is that their offense is in the top 10 against righties still. They're still a very productive unit in that split. So Gray is stepping up in class here. And so I think that there's a good chance that he kind of has a little bit of a correction to his numbers. Now, Jack Flaherty is a guy that's got a 4.55 ERA, 4.61 expected ERA, 4.44 FIP. However, he gave up 10 runs on May 4th against the Angels, I believe in 2 1/3 innings pitched. In his last five starts since then, he's given up only 8 runs, 28 strikeouts in 29 innings, 27.5% hard hit percentage, and only 4 barrels allowed, with 1 barrel allowed in his last 4 starts. So Flaherty's been pitching really, really well. And the thing about the Rangers, their one offensive flaw, they don't draw a lot of walks. Flaherty's issue is that he issues walks, but he does a really good job of limiting hard contact. And again, I keep going back to this, and credit to the Rangers for having an incredible season, but their batting average with runners in scoring position is 45 points higher than anybody else. It just doesn't seem sustainable to me. And Flaherty, a guy that limits hard contact, maybe the right type of guy to kind of keep them under wraps a little bit. So I think the Cardinals at plus 130 or better, worth a look here today with Flaherty and Gray, hopefully a correction coming for John Gray and Jack Flaherty, you know, pitching very well here of late. So hopefully you can keep that going against this Texas lineup. So the three plays for today, Dodgers and Reds over 11, Guardians minus -130, and then the Cardinals plus $1.30 against the Rangers. As I said, Jeff Parles will steward this ship for the next couple of days on Thursday and Friday, so please be as kind to him as you are to me. Rate, review, subscribe, 5-star reviews, very much appreciated. Thank you so much for listening, everybody, and tune in tomorrow for another edition of VSiN Daily Baseball Bets.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.